Al-Bayan Radio presents the following program, asking Allah that it serves as a benefit for all.
Okay, bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters, and welcome to Al-Bayan Live. I'm your host, Abu Abdurrahman, and I'm very pleased to be joined by my dear brother, Sheikh Abu Abdullah, live from Perth. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Nice to be with you, brother Nida.
Barakallahu feek. Once again, it's nice to have you with us. We'd like to welcome all our viewers on Facebook Live and also Al-Bayan Radio YouTube channel. Please subscribe if you haven't subscribed. Sheikh, how has your week been, or your last 2 weeks since the last time we spoke to you? How has it been?
Alhamdulillah, it's been great. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. It's nice to have the freedom. Work, family, alhamdulillah, everything being okay. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen.
Barakallahu feekum, Sheikh. Now, Sheikh, tonight we've chosen to start off with some prophetic advice, trying to seek guidance and wisdoms and benefits from the life and sayings and actions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why is this so important for us to do, Sheikh?
For many reasons, but the main reason is that there is no salvation in this life and the hereafter other than the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it is the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the famous hadith, "Alaykum bi sunnati wa sunnat khulafa'i ar-rashidin al-mahdiyyin min ba'di." So the advice of the Prophet was to follow his sunnah and the sunnah of his rightful caliphs after him. So if you want to be successful in this life and we have to follow his guidance. His life is a model for all Muslims to follow. Subhanallah, when you reflect in his life, any situation that you would go through in your life, you will find some sort of counseling and some sort of guidance in the life of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. To the Prophet Sallallahu that he was raised as an orphan. He lost his mother for those who have lost their mothers. He lost his father for those who lost their fathers. He lost his sons for those who have lost their kids. So his life has been a struggle. So it is a role and an exemplary life for all of us. So it is very important for us to know the life of the Prophet ﷺ and to follow the footstep of the Prophet ﷺ. And it is an obligation as well. So it is an obligation upon the Muslim to follow the guidance, the instructions, the commandments of the Prophet
ﷺ. Sheikh, there is so many prophetic gems and so many jewels and diamonds from the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. So where are we going to start tonight, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala?
For me, it is a hadith that is very dear to me that I've learned many years back. It is a hadith that is narrated by two sahabis, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari and, no, I'm sorry, Abu Dharr al-Ghifari and Mu'adh ibn Jabal. It is a hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, اتق الله حيثما كنت واتبع السيئة الحسنة تمحوها وخالق الناس بخلق حسن. So let us the two companions, those who narrated the hadith. Abu Musa is a muhajir that in some of the narration he feels so proud that he says, "I was 1/5 of Islam at one stage of my life." So when the Prophet ﷺ started calling to Islam, five people who were Muslim at the time, Abu Dharr was one of them. So he was one of five people who were Muslim in the initial call of Islam. And then the Prophet ﷺ instructed him to go back to his tribes and stay with them, and then to migrate to Medina when the Prophet ﷺ migrated, and that happened. He was one Sahaba, one of the eldest Sahaba. Also says that he used to give fatwa, he used to give Islamic advices and ruling during the Khilafah of Abu Bakr and Umar. He was so learned. The other Sahabi is Mu'adh ibn Jabal. The Prophet ﷺ loved him so much. in the narrative. He's a Ansari, is from Al Medina. There are a few close conversation between him and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The hadith that touched me the most is when the Prophet told Muaz, "Ya Muaz, wallahi inni la uhibbuk." So subhanAllah, amazing. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam telling someone that I love. Imagine that, when the Prophet tell you that I love you, and then he gives him advice to say, "Ya Muaz, la tatruk." So he teaches him specific words not to leave after salah, which he Allahumma inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. After each salah, do not leave this nice words and nice dhikr. But Mu'adh, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, also praised once. He said, "A'lamu ummati bil halal wal haram." Mu'adh, the most knowledgeable of my ummah in the matter of halal and haram is Mu'adh. So he was very knowledgeable. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the last days of his life, he sent him to Medina. That shows how the Prophet also trusted Mu'adh when he sent him as a teacher to the people of Yemen to invite them to Islam and to judge between them with Islam. And he, before he sent him, he asked him a few questions. He said, "Oh Mu'adh, innaka ta'hi qawman ahla kitab." So you're going to go to the people who follow a book. What would you call them to? So he said, "The first thing I would use is the Quran. If I don't find in the Quran, I'll look into the Sunnah. If not, then I'll make my own ijtihad. I'll try my best." And the Prophet ﷺ was pleased with this. So these are the two Sahabas. Just in a quick, inshallah ta'ala, nutshell, those were the two narrators of the hadith of the
Beautiful
Prophet.
Beautiful, Shaykh. Now, Shaykh, the Prophet ﷺ, he starts with, "Fear Allah wherever you are." What
That's
is this
correct.
Taqwa? What does taqwa mean?
Taqwa is a very comprehensive word, and it is something that Allah Azza wa Jal even said to the Prophet himself. He said, "Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu taqillah." So when a person tell you to have fear, to have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person should never ever take that as an offense. It should be something that taken as an advice for us to check ourselves. Taqwa, there are a few definitions. There is a famous saying of Ali radiallahu anhu that he says, it is he says al-amalu at-tasdiqu, he says al-amalu bi-tanzil. So it is to act upon the Tanzil, upon the Quran, upon the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, min al-jaleel. So you also fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wal isti'dadu liyawm ar-rahil, and that you prepare yourself for the day of judgment. Another narration of the Sahaba is, he asked, "What is taqwa?" He said, "If you come to a thorny field," so a place that is full of thorns and things that might harm you, and "How would you cross that field? How would you cross this piece of land?" He said, you look at where you put your steps, and you normally put your clothing up, and you make sure your foot is in the right place. So you fear and you always are watchful. He said that is taqwa. Likewise, in our life, to have taqwa is to always constantly be watching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That doesn't mean you become sinless, because nobody is perfect. We all make mistakes. We all from time to time have our shortcomings. But to be always mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we will be making mistakes. But it is from that taqwa that what comes after in this hadith, inshallah ta'ala, that we're going to discuss. But what is important here, it says, اتَّقِ اللَّهَ حَيْثُمَا كُنْ. Fear Allah Azza wa Jal. Not only fear, because fear sometimes it might push you away. It has to, the ulama said, you have to have love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. And you have to have hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the taqwa has to have three parts, which is part of believing in Allah Azza wa Jal, iman of Allah Azza wa Jal. So this taqwa shouldn't be only in front of people. So the first statement, it says, اتَّقِ اللَّهَ حَيْثُمَا كُنْ. Fear Allah Azza wa Jal. Be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wherever you are. Because some of us, sadly, we show piousness, we show taqwa, we show fear of Allah Azza wa Jal practicing in front of people. So when we are among people, when we are in a masjid, when we are in the market, when we are with people, we show that we are conscious and are righteous people. But sadly, when we are alone, when we are away from Muslim, so we have another personality. The advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam here is, wherever you are, wherever you are, he said the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you should have always have that constant fear of Allah Azza wa Jal, awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mindful of the obligation, mindful of the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is very, very important to have that, subhanAllah. If you have that, inshaAllah ta'ala, you are on the safe side. So moving to the second hadith,
yes.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَأَتِبِعِ السَّيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحُهَا. Follow a bad deed with a good deed, and the good deed will wipe the bad deed. Again, this is, subhanAllah, a beautiful thing from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he understands that we are human beings. We are created with needs, incomplete. We are human beings, so we have our needs. Sometimes we fall into temptations, and we have our shortfalls, and we have our disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sins from time to time. And from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he says, you follow your bad deed with a good deed, and that will erase it. That is number one. So when a person has committed a sin or disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the advice is, number one is to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then follow that with a good deed. Try to do some good deeds and hasanat in your life, so it would erase it. And the beauty, subhanAllah, and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah is so merciful, that as in the other hadith, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained the hasanat and the sayyi'at, he says, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wrote the hasanat and the sayyi'at, he wrote the hasanah, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala multiplies it minimum 10 times, up to 700 times. So if you do one hasanah, say for example, you say subhanallah once, then minimum reward you get for that is 10. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could multiply it up to 700 times. But when you make a sin, when you commit a sin, it is only written. And this is from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even that one sayyi'ah, one bad deeds that you have committed, from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the angels, those who write your bad deeds, they wait for a few hours for you to repent, in order for you to ask Allah Azza wa Jal for forgiveness, so that Allah will not write it against you. They wait for you to say astaghfirullah and to ask Allah Azza wa Jal for forgiveness. And this is, subhanAllah, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala toward his creation. And subhanAllah, it is very sad for us, subhanAllah, to see that people don't take this hadith into their account, because the promise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that every good deeds that you do, that was a mean for the bad deeds to be erased and for the sin to be erased. So, and again, it shows us the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the second part of the hadith. I'll go to the third part, and then inshallah we can have some discussion bidin Allah ta'ala. The third part is وَخَالِقِ النَّاسَ بِخُلُقٍ حَسَنٍ. Deal with people with good characters and good morals. And again, subhanAllah, when you reflect on this part, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not say وَخَالِق المؤمنين. He didn't say وخالق المسلمين. He didn't say وخالق your. So the Prophet said people in general. He did not say your family. He did not say the Muslims. He did not say the mu'min, because we as human beings, we must have these social interactions. We must have this social interaction with many different, with many type of peoples. We have our families, we have Muslim communities around us, and we have the wider community with us. And that was the case in Medina as well when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was there. So we as a Muslim, we have rules in how to deal with each category, each type of people. They have their own rights. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us here that we should be dealing with everyone in a nice manner, in a proper manner, with respect, with respect, and also dealing with them with the akhlaq, with the characters and behaviors of Muslims, and to take the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam dealt with non-Muslim, with Muslim, with his family, in consideration. And then we can categorize the people if we say to family. So you deal with your family, starting with one parents, for example. They have a certain way of dealing with them. And they are the most important people in someone's life. So your parents have the most rights. And then comes your wife, your kids, and then your brothers and sisters. And then comes your shuyukh, those who have taught you, and all this a part of how you deal with people. And then you have the wider community as Muslim, and then you have the non-Muslim. So these are three parts of the hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned. And subhanallah, when you look into these three parts, they are three important part of a Muslim life that we all go and deal with. First part is dealing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we deal with Allah azza wa jal, so the taqwa must be there. And then the second part is when it is our nafs, how we interact with our own soul, and we pray to Allah azza wa jal, we go about our own self and our life. And we might have shortcoming, we might have sin. And the third part is when we deal with other people. So these are three types of interaction that any human being have, having interaction with Allah Azza wa Jalla, having interaction with your own self, and having interaction with the people. And subhanAllah, in these shorter statements that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam covered everything. Now,
Allah, it's so comprehensive, as you mentioned there, and this is from the miracles of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that he was given a comprehensive speech, in that he would say a few words, a lot of meaning, different than us today, where we can speak for hours and we don't benefit others much. Sheikh, how in this hadith can we take in the door of da'wah? Because a lot of times people say, you know what, I haven't got much knowledge. Can we take from this hadith that by your manners you can call others to Islam?
Ah, definitely, subhanAllah. Again, we could take the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a model. Life of the Prophet, life of the Sahaba, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with them. And again, when we come to da'wah, probably this has been covered so many times, but there is a hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, بَلِّغُ عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً. One verse. You don't have to have vast knowledge. You don't have to read a lot of books. You just have to need to have an understanding of one ayah, one hadith, and you just propagate that, you pass it on to people. SubhanAllah, a few months ago, I was listening to a story of an old man in Saudi. So the Sheikh was telling the story. He said, the Sheikh was giving a reminder to people about this, بَلِّغُ عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً. So he said, I was talking to him, and then they left. He said, this old man came to me and he said, look, son, Sheikh, I am an old man. I don't have a great memory. I just want you to teach me one hadith, just one hadith. He said, the Sheikh said, I thought about a hadith to teach this man. And then I said to him, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, kalimatani, two words, khafifatani ala lisan, thaqilatani fil mizan, subhanallah bihamdi, subhanallah. So he said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Two words are very light on the tongue but heavy on the scale in the day of judgment. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanallah. So this old man, he said, can you repeat it again? So the Sheikh repeated again, three times, five times, until the old man memorized this. And he says, since that man, whoever he meets, he just tells them that the hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And the Sheikh narrates, and he says, subhanallah, this old man got a stroke. So he went to a hospital. He was in coma. I say he used to repeat this. The moment he woke up from the coma, he advised the doctor he was coming to check on him. He said, say this, kalimatani khafifatani ala lisan. So it is the intention that people need. If you really wanted to pass on the da'wah of Islam, the message of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the first and the most important thing you need is your sincerity. You need ikhlas. You're doing this for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal too, and to benefit yourself. Wallahi, sometimes when you don't work in da'wah, the shaitan will make you work somewhere else. So it is better to make yourself busy with the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before shaitan makes you something else. So it is very, very important for us, inshallah ta'ala. Just even it's one hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one ayah. And we should make that a habit in our life. Just every day, 5 minutes from any podcast, from any YouTube channel, reputable, something that it is credible, you learn and pass it to your family. Pass it to your kids. Pass it to your friends. Call someone. Send it on WhatsApp, on groups, whatever. Just pass on. Make yourself busy with the da'wah of Islam. Again, the last part of the hadith, which is خالق الناس بخلق الحسن, just but with your own character, your own way of dealing with people, being honest, being trustworthy, being truthful. The Prophet ﷺ, before Islam, was known by these characters. There was no even Islam then, but the Prophet was the honest, the trustworthy. People liked him. Even when Islam came to him, people couldn't find fault in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we there are so many stories that you hear today of people just through their characters, being on time, being truthful, being honest, that people start wanting to know about the religion of these people, of us, I mean, of Muslims. When we really practice our religion, people wanted to know what makes us different, what makes us unique. And they want to start exploring and asking about Islam. And that is our job then, inshallah ta'ala, to teach them about Islam. If not, someone else, inshallah, will teach them.
Now, Shaykh, we also benefit from this hadith. We see the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that He is merciful to His slaves, in that He forgives and gives many doors of forgiveness. And one of them is by following up a bad deed with a good one, it will wipe it out. Sheikh, what are other doors or avenues of having our sins forgiven?
Look, the first and the most important one is tawbah, istighfar, tawbah. And for a person to say istighfarullah, he repents to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is the greatest door. So it is very important.
Himself.
Yes,
Prophet
correct.
Himself,
the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, in the hadith. Yes, he said he said, إِنِّي لَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ. He said, there are two narrations. One of them is, فِي الْمَجْلِسِ الْوَاحِدِ سَبْعِينَ مَرَّةً. So 70 times in one gathering. So in maybe in an hour, maybe less than an hour, he would say 70 times, أَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ. Some, in another narration, he said, إِنِّي لَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ فِي الْيَوْمِ أَكْثَرَ مِنْ 100 مَرَّةً. More than 100 times, he would say, أَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ, أَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ, أَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ. But there are so many hadiths. For example, there is a dua istighfar. So if you are in a gathering and people were talking idle talks and all of that, there is a dua that you recite before you leave that gathering. Allah will wipe any sin that was said in that gathering. Subhanak Allahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Making istighfar, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah azza wa jalla will accept your repentance and Allah will forgive you.
Sheikh, we also have the wudu and salah and Friday to Friday, Ramadan to
Correct.
Ramadan, Umrah to
Yeah,
Umrah. It
yeah.
shows Allah is subhanahu wa ta'ala is so merciful and gives us so many opportunities to be forgiven.
Correct, correct. يعني this is a hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said that الصلاة إلى الصلاة كفارة لما بينهن إذا اجتنبت الكبائر رمضان to رمضان جمعة to جمعة عمرة to عمرة حج have حج مبروك. He said the person goes back as if he was a newborn and the حج المبرور
نعم
ليس له جزاء إلا الجنة. So there are different hadith. So people think in order for your sin to be forgiven, you have to do miraculous actions. That is not correct.
نعم
It could just raise your hand to Allah Azza wa Jalla and Allah will forgive all your past sins. So don't think in order Azza wa Jalla to forgive you, you have, for example, to fast every day, or you have to do to give a charity of $100,000, or to build a masjid, or to do this. It's not like that. Allah is so merciful that even you just raise your hand up and say, "Allah, forgive me," and you are sincere, Allah will forgive you. Allah Azza wa
Sheikh,
Jalla,
what
the
is
Prophet
also
Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, yeah, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says quickly, inshallah ta'ala, he says that Inna Allah la yabsutu yadahu bin nahar liyatuba musibilla. So Allah stretch his hand during the day, those who are committing evils, disobeying Allah Azza wa Jal during the night, would ask Allah Azza wa Jal for forgiveness during the day. And he also stretched his hand of forgiveness to people at night. So those who have shortfall and sins and disobedience during the day would ask Allah Azza wa Jal for forgiveness during the night. So every time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there for us to ask for forgiveness and he will forgive.
Sheikh, what is also amazing is that unlike other religions, we deal directly with Allah. We don't have to go and perform confessions for sins and through a person and behind the curtain. We have a direct relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala where we can make istighfar and perform tawbah. This is a blessing in and of itself.
Definitely, definitely, subhanAllah. And the relationship here is only with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cannot judge so and so is this because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows him better than me. And there is no intermediary. So in Islam, there is no middleman. So it is between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The middleman would be a knowledgeable person to tell you how to get to Allah azza wa jal, but he is not the door to Allah azza wa jal. That person is not the way to Allah azza wa jal. Allah azza wa jal is direct. Just between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the beauty of this religion. And subhanallah, there are so many people that who are more righteous than sometimes to us don't appear righteous. And there is a beautiful hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when a man passed by while the Prophet and the companion were sitting down, he said, "Ma taquluna fi hadha ar-rajul?" What do you say about this man? He was humble. He didn't look very famous. He wasn't dressed in a nice way. The Ashab, they said, this man, if he seeks marriage, nobody will offer their daughter to him. If he intercede for someone, they come and ask for intercession for someone, nobody will accept intercession. If he speaks, not many people will listen to him. The Prophet kept quiet, and another man passed by. He was dressed well. He was famous in the community. And he said, "What do you say about this man?" They said that this man is, mashallah, famous. He looks rich. If he seeks to get married, people will marry him. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, "Wallahi," he said, "the person who is poor is better in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jal than an earth full of the second person." So it is not by look. It is not by how you look, what you do, how much you have. It is about what is in your heart. To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if a person is sincere, humble, his connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is right, so yes, there is no need for a middleman in our religion, alhamdulillah.
Jazakallah khairan, dear Shaykh. Wallah, we love
yeah.
having you on today. Inshallah, we'll continue
Barakallah.
Next week with more prophetic
inshallah.
Hadith. Any final words for tonight?
Barakallah. I'm just I'll repeat the hadith again. اتق الله حيثما كنت
تفضل
واتبع السيئات الحسنة وتمحوها وخالق الناس بخلق حسن. Fear Allah Azza wa Jal wherever you are, and follow a bad deed with a good deeds and it will erase it, and deal with people, all people, especially your parents and the family, inshallah ta'ala, in good manner, inshallah ta'ala.
Barakallah feek, dear Shaykh, and inshallah we'll see you next week.
This program was presented by Al-Bayan Radio, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.